Oh, amen. Do take a seat. Janet's going to come and read to us a couple of brief verses from Matthew chapter 5, and then Monique will be speaking to us on that.
Reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Janet. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you today. And we're looking at the third set of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful and blessed are the pure in heart. And as you know, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest chunk of Jesus' teaching in the Bible. And you can picture the scene. The crowds are gathered on a grassy hill overlooking the Lake of Galilee. It's a really beautiful place to be. But there is probably some shock rippling through the crowd right now as they process the first two Beatitudes that we looked at last week. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. It's a very radical and a completely puzzling thing to hear, as those things look so far from blessed to us. And then Jesus hits them with the next two, which are a very high call to a people who have just been told that they need to be aware of their own weakness in order to harness the power of God. And as Davina said last week, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is describing what kind of people God's kingdom belongs to. And of course, as it's from Jesus, it's not what we would expect naturally. What we might picture as blessed gets turned on its head in the Beatitudes. But Davina beautifully explained that blessing is not the same as happiness or luck, but is an objective state given to us by God. And the way the word blessed is used in this context is Jesus pointing at these groups of people and saying, that is a flourishing life. So today we learn that two more of the markers of a flourishing life are to be merciful and to be pure in heart. The eagle-eyed of you will notice that we skipped two Beatitudes in between the ones last week and this week, and that's because we've got a wonderful guest speaker, the Reverend Christopher Powell, who is our rural dean. He's speaking to us next week, and we'd assigned those to him, and we had to do a little date shift. But it doesn't really affect the order too much. I think it's really important that you have poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn first, but the others flow quite nicely on from there. So the first one, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. This sounds so simple, doesn't it? You get what you give, you reap what you sow. It's a bit like karma, as some people would call it. But the reality is that it sounds so simple, but it's a very hard thing to live out. It's very easy to want mercy for ourselves, to be grateful for God's mercy for us, or the mercy of a parking attendant when we didn't know we weren't supposed to park there, or a boss that's still waiting on a deadline from us, or the ongoing forgiveness of a sibling that you find it quite easy to wind up, or a spouse. It's another thing entirely to show mercy to those that wind us up or delay us or hurt us. And luckily, Jesus tells a parable exactly about this later on in Matthew 18 that actually Rick was preaching at the Hub over in Pease Cottage a few weeks ago. And this parable makes concrete this very beatitude. Jesus talks about a king who is owed a large sum of money by one of his servants. It's millions probably in today's currency. And he calls up the servant and says, I think it's time you pay me back. Where's my money? And the servant says, no, I can't pay you back now. Please give me more time. And the king says, no, I think we're going to have to throw you and your family into prison and sell all of your belongings to pay this debt. But as he sees the servant begging for mercy, he relents, he has pity, and in fact, he cancels the entire debt. And this servant then runs out into the world, a free man. It's a wonderful gift. But as he's going through the streets, he bumps into a fellow servant that owes him a few coins. And we're told in the parable that he grabs the servant by the throat and says, pay me back right now, I need that money. And the fellow servant says, I can't pay you now, please have mercy on me. And he says, absolutely not, and has this fellow servant thrown into prison. The king hears of this and, of course, calls the servant back and says, "You wicked servant, shouldn't you have had mercy on this man as I had mercy on you?" Jesus tells this story in response to one of the questions from his disciple Peter, who says, "How many times should I forgive my brother and my sister?" And the parable shows us that the mercy we receive from God should rightly change us. We shouldn't be the same people after receiving God's mercy. The big change that happens in us is that we go out into the world as people who are merciful. And to be merciful that you might receive mercy is also a central idea in the golden rule. We say, love your neighbour as yourself. Where we find it easy to ask for mercy for ourselves, we need to pray that we begin to find it easier to show mercy to others. And it's also central to the Lord's Prayer. We say it all the time, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I find that line always catches me in the Lord's Prayer. There's no if we forgive. It is as we forgive. It's part of the deal that as we forgive others, God's forgiveness flows to us. Simon Guillebaud, the great missionary in Burundi, once said, "We are to be conduits and not cul-de-sacs of God's mercy. It's supposed to come into our lives and flow out from us. It's not to get stuck in our lives." We are to emulate the character of the God who created us in his image. So when we're merciful, we're mirroring the God who is like that. We're showing the world what a merciful God looks like by the way we act and we live. Our God is perfectly merciful. We sung it in Here Is Love. Just the lyrics, the richness of them as a picture of God who has boundless mercy, for whom no one is outside of the reach of his mercy. No one is undeserving or too far gone. And God loves it when we do right by each other in this way, because we are coming into the fullness of life that God has for us, and we're enabling the other to also experience God's mercy. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He ramps up the challenge with the next one, saying, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And it's a direct quote from Psalm 24, which is why we read that psalm at the beginning of our service. And the psalm says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? It's the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. They will receive blessing from the Lord." Jesus often hyperlinks to other parts of scripture when he's speaking. He's often quoting things, and the Jewish members of the audience would have seen that and been transported to that psalm. Psalm 24 is all talking about who can get into the throne room of God, who can get up close to God and stand before him. Who could stand before the righteousness of God? We know that the only people in the Bible who got to see God face to face were Adam and Eve in paradise. And so it's saying that those who will see God because they're pure in heart are the people who are going to regain entry into Eden. They're the people who will be in the new creation with Jesus. They're the people who will be able to walk with God in the cool of the garden, as we hear the first humans did, to have that intimacy of relationship with God, completely unhindered relationship. And so clean hands suggest a purity of action and behaviour, which is visible. But then pure of heart means that my behaviour that is visible, which is doing right by God and by others, is matched completely by my internal life and motivations. And who can possibly stand up to that? Who can possibly say that all of their actions are backed up entirely by the way they feel inside? And so the call to be merciful is about doing right by others. And the call to be pure in heart is asking that our behaviour and our core character match up. But the truth is that try as we might, our human hearts are mixed, our motives are mixed and compromised. We might strive for purity, but we sometimes fail. And so we need God to work a new creation in our cause. Like David prays in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He prays that God would create this kind of heart in him. God is on a mission to make us pure of heart because it means we can see him and dwell with him and walk with him, and he wants nothing more than to be with us in relationship. But we're very aware we can't do this on our own, but we can pray for God's help in cultivating the purity of heart that he calls us to, and we can be quick to repent and put things right when things go wrong. And so in both these Beatitudes, it's clear to see that if we want to live this out, we need God's help. We need him to form us into the kind of people that belong in his kingdom. God's call to each one of us as his followers is to be people who have received mercy and then in turn show mercy. And to be people who seek the purity of heart, that means our characters, motivations, and intentions line up with our actions and behaviours. And that means our whole lives are directed towards God and to his glory. And so I wonder what God is growing in you, where he might be nudging you into showing deeper mercy. Maybe you need to take a step back and first receive his mercy for you afresh. In a moment, we're going to have a time of quiet, and perhaps you need to ask him to show you the mercy that he has shown you already and the mercy that he still has to give. Allow the truth and the beauty of that to nourish your soul and help you be motivated to show mercy to others. Maybe you need to say sorry to God this morning for someone you haven't been merciful to that you know you ought to. Someone who really needs your mercy and you might have withheld it, either out of hurt or pride or fear. And where might God be calling you to deeper purity in your life and your heart, that you might see more of his face, know more of his character, and hear more of his heart? Is there something you need to give over to him? Something you need to cut out of your life? Or a practice that you need to put into place that helps you to say, God, create in me a clean heart and help me to keep it on track to greater purity that I might be able to see you and dwell with you for eternity. And so we'll just take a few moments of quiet now. You can pray in your hearts and talk to the Lord about some of those things, see what he might have to say to you today. And then I'll pray in a couple of minutes. So we know with deep things of the heart like this, our efforts are futile without the Lord's help, without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of boundless mercy. Thank you for the mercy you've shown each one of us here today in this room. We pray that you would communicate into our hearts in the quiet the mercy that you have for us. And we ask that that would change us, that we would be forever changed because of that. Show us who we need to show mercy to, and give us the courage, we pray, to step out and do that. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would create in us clean hearts. Help us to be pure in heart that we might see you. Lord, we pray for your forgiveness where we've gone wrong. We ask that you would show us today more of who you are and what it means to follow you, to love you, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.